let's go ahead and pick up where we left off this morning. We'll review for a little bit. And by the way, I did not mention this morning, but this is one of the lessons from the upper room. And it's entitled, You Are a New Creation. For those of you who weren't here this morning or weren't watching this morning, I'm going to review for a little bit what we covered this morning, what the Lord shared. And then we'll continue from that point. But I do encourage you to get a copy of that sermon and listen to it, because I am not going over everything again. We started off, I was sharing with you how that when I was raised, I was taught, you know, you have to believe in Jesus, you have to be born again, and He's your Lord and Savior, washed in the blood and all that. But we were also taught that as Christians, we still had a sin nature. So that's what I believed until I started hearing some other people say some other things. And so I get into the Word and I start looking, and sure enough, you know, if you're born again, you don't have a sin nature. And the problem goes back to not really understanding what born again means. Well, the Lord started this off in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. And in those verses, those passages, Jesus emphasized in John about the need to be born again. He said, look, if you're not born again, you don't even get to see the kingdom of God. You don't get into the kingdom. And then he talked about how that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, meaning you have to have a spiritual birth to get into the kingdom. And in Romans chapter 6, Paul was writing about how that, we've been raised from spiritual death by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And therefore, we are supposed to be walking in newness of life. Well, if it's newness of life, that means it can't be the same life I had before I got born again. It's got to be something new. And that newness is a new spiritual life. And the Lord said, being born again is a rebirth. You were first born spiritually dead. In me, you are born a second time as spiritually alive. Your second birth reverses the effects of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Death was removed from your spirit, and you were given the glory of my life. Later, you will have a physical body that is likewise glorified. And, you know, we're looking forward to that. But until then, the glory is in us. And it's the glory of God's life. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, and 1 John 4, verse 17, it talks about how that the eyes of our understanding need to be enlightened so that we can understand this change that's taken place on the inside of us. And what that means is that until our eyes are enlightened, or until we grasp this understanding, even though we're born again, we will not fully comprehend what happened to us when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, God says, "As I am, so are you in this world." So as He is, so are we in this world. That means as He is, so are we in this world. What are you going to do? How do you get around that? That means that though I'm not deity and I never will be deity and never become a God, as He is, so am I. That means there's got to be something about me that resembles God. Well, obviously it can't be this physical body, because this physical body hasn't been glorified yet. So it has to be something other than my physical body. Well, what is it about me that would resemble God? Well, the Bible says God is a spirit. So therefore, if God is a spirit, and there's something about me that resembles Him, and I know it can't be my physical body, then it's got to be my spirit. And I have been, Genesis chapter 1, made in His image, in His likeness. I've been reborn in His image and in His likeness. Well, he said, when you understand the concept of born again, you will not debate the non-deified standing of equality you have with me. Far too many of my children see born again as simply being forgiven of sin, thus making the blood of my son essentially no better than the blood of animals sacrificed under the law. If you do not see yourself beyond simply being forgiven, then you do not really understand what being born again really means. Well, then we took a look in Hebrews chapter 8, and it talked about, you know, the difference between the animal blood and the blood of Jesus. And the Lord said, the blood of an animal sacrifice under the law enabled people to be forgiven. But the blood of my Son not only affords to you forgiveness, it penetrates to the very depths of your spirit to purge you of every part of the sin nature. You are not just forgiven, you have been reborn. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he talks about that all things have been made new. If you're in Christ, then you're a new creature, a new creation. And we took a look in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where it talks about the change in covenant and that there's a new covenant and again about the sacrifice of Jesus. Well, the Lord continued in sharing here, and he said, "You, my church, are so accustomed to seeing sin in the world, in my church, and in those in the pulpits, that you assume you still have the same sin nature you had before being born again. But that is how people were under the law. They had a sin nature before offering an animal sacrifice, and they still had a sin nature after shedding the blood of that animal. If you have the same nature after you are born again that you had before you were born again, then why establish a second covenant? The first covenant would still be sufficient." Well, obviously, I mean, if it's simply about being forgiven, I just need an animal. I don't need the blood of Jesus. I need an animal. But the blood of Jesus takes me on beyond forgiveness. It does a work on the inside of me spiritually. And he said, "You are so accustomed to seeing sin in my church that you believe you have a sin nature. But what if, when you became born again, you were introduced to a church where people from the leadership down lived like they have my life in them? Do you think you would have a totally different perspective about being born again?" Well, I guarantee you I would. Because if I had leadership, if I had people surrounding me that lived like they had God's life in them, that's what I would see. And not only is that what I would see, but that is what I would hear in their teaching and in their preaching. So I would be raised being taught, you're not the same person you used to be. It's not about just getting born again to get washed in the blood and have your sins forgiven. It's about being changed in your life. It's about having a complete, total restoration in your very existence. You don't see it in the natural because your body's not been glorified yet. But on the inside, you have been gloriously changed because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you just want to be forgiven, then, you know, get a time machine and go back and live under the law. But it no longer works to just be forgiven. God says there's a better covenant, better promises. It's based on the blood of my Son Jesus. And not only do you get born again when you appropriate that sacrifice, but right along with being born with right along with being forgiven, you get born again, you have a change in life, a very change in nature itself. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is kind of where we're going to pick up from this morning. He gave a short list of things that have to do with us when we're born again. And along with this list, he gave a scripture reference for each one of these things. And so we're not going to look at all the scripture references, but I will give them to you. He said, if the sin nature had not been removed from you when you were born again, you could not have been adopted as my child, Romans 8:15 through 16. You could not have been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of my dear Son, Colossians 1:12 through 14. You could not be seated in heavenly places in me, Ephesians 2:4 through 6. You could not be a joint heir with Jesus, Romans 8:17. You could not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Acts 19:1 through 6. You could not have Christ in you, Colossians 1:21 through 27. You could not have Christ living in you so you could live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20. You would not be called my righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I would not have said you have been created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. I would not tell you to be holy as I am holy, 1 Peter 1:16. I would not have said that as I am, so are you in the world, 1 John 4:17. I mean, that list could go on and on. But if you just think about those things, well, listen to what he said. Search my word. For nowhere in my word did I say such things about those living under the law and depending on the blood of an animal sacrifice. It is not in there. It's not in there. Nowhere. Nowhere did he tell Moses or David or Daniel or Joshua or you, where find them? Look, not even John the Baptist. Remember, Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest that had ever come along. But not even John the Baptist had been adopted as God's child. The Holy Spirit moved upon people, but nobody got filled with the Holy Ghost like what we see evidenced in Scripture from the day of Pentecost on. It didn't happen. None of it happened. There had to have been a change, a massive, huge change in us, because if you could have gotten any of these things and more through the blood of an animal, we would have seen it recorded in Scripture. It's not recorded, but it is prophesied. It's prophesied. Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, folks, I know ahead of time that some people could listen to this message and say, well, let me kind of summarize it like this. I really don't care what you say. I still believe that we have a sin nature. If I didn't have a sin nature, you know, I wouldn't be like I am. Well, you are like you are because you don't know what born again means. I mean, think about it, man. If you truly understood that you had access to the purity of the life of God on the inside of you, don't you think that would have an impact on you? I mean, I think I would on me. And that even for us who believe, yes, praise God, born again, I don't have a sin nature anymore. Well, if you don't have a sin nature, what nature do you have? Well, I have the nature and the life of God. Really, do you understand you're going to be presented before Him for judgment and stand accountable for what you've done with that life? Well, anyway, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What that means is when I'm born again, I start off, you know, here at level number one. And I'm supposed to be going through this process of change. From level 1 to level 2 to level 3 to until I have matured to the place to where, like Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Well, I need to mature to the place to where I can say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Now, I've got a long way to go, praise God. A long way to go. But I thank God for where I am. Well, we're changed into the same image. Now look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Where it says after the image of Him, that's basically saying God that created him. The Him that got created is my new man on the inside. It got created in me. I didn't enter this world with it. It was created in me when I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Got born again. And a new life was created in me. I am a new creation. He said, my son paid a horrible price for me to leave you the same after you have put your faith in him to be your Savior. Didn't you trust in him to be changed? Then I ask you, if you trusted in Him so you could be changed, but you still have a sin nature, then what exactly changed? Think about it. What changed? Well, I got forgiven. They got forgiven under the law with the blood of the animals. You didn't put your faith in Jesus just to be forgiven. You put your faith in Him to be changed. So if you still have a sin nature, what changed? What has changed on the inside? What is different? Well, I'm a new creation. But what does that mean? Well, I'm a new creation. Okay, but what does that mean? Well, it means I'm born again. Well, what does that mean? It means I'm a new creation. Okay, we're going to loop around here several times. Well, let me just cut to the chase. Do you have the life of God in you? Yes, amen. Born again, got the life of God on the inside of me. Do you have a sin nature? Oh, yes, brother, all have sinned and come short of the glory. You know what? You're either an Oreo or a Chips Ahoy. You can't be both. Those of you who appreciate the finer cookies in life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, that was a subtle hint. How many of you caught on to it? Add that to the brownie list. Praise God. If you trusted in Him so you could be changed, but you still have a sin nature, then what exactly changed? That's a good question. And next time somebody brings that up to you about, you know, well, you know, I'm born again, but I still have a sin nature, then ask them, well, did you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be changed? Yes, I did. Well, what has changed? Well, I'm born again. Yeah, okay, but what has changed? You put your faith in Him for change. But you say you still have a sin nature. What changed? I mean, you're still ugly, so obviously the outside didn't change. What changed? I'm not talking about you here. It's those people out there that don't want to come to this church.
Move on, Brother Martin, move on.
Okay. Oh, this next part. Glory to God. Listen to what he said. What I see are Christians who have their spiritual eyes blanketed by religious dogma that has been formulated by people who are so spiritually immature, I would not even allow them to teach a Sunday school class of 2-year-olds in a church where I was the pastor. Now you need to understand this is God speaking. And I want to read this again. What I see are Christians who have their spiritual eyes blanketed by religious dogma that has been formulated by people who are so spiritually immature, I would not even allow them to teach a Sunday school class of 2-year-olds in a church where I was the pastor. Litmus test. Somebody comes to your church.
I want to help out. I want to teach in the children.
Okay.
Are you born again? Yes, I am.
Do you have a sin nature?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You ain't teaching nothing, man. You're not even going to teach our dogs, okay? Why would you want anybody teaching your little children who are supposed to be trained up in the way of the Lord as His heritage? Why would you want somebody to teach your child, now Johnny, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to be born again, but you'll still have a sin nature. You want your children to believe that? Well, no. Well, neither does God. Now, here's what I thought was interesting, where he said, so spiritually immature, I would not even allow them to teach a Sunday school class of 2-year-olds in a church where I was the pastor. Let that sink in, because when he first said that, it caused me to kind of pause and think, what are you saying here? What he's saying is that all the churches out there that teach that, they are not truly submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God is not the God of that church. I don't care what they say. Because when God is your God, remember, He says their spiritual eyes are blanketed by religious dogma. He didn't say they'd lost their salvation. He just said that, you know, the eyes of the understanding are not enlightened. And is somebody out there that believes, you know, sin nature and all that, and they get a hold of this sermon and they say, burn this thing. That's just like, here years ago, back when, you know, we were still dealing with cassette tapes, there was a church in one particular state where the pastor called an official Burn Gary Carpenter tapes service. And on a Sunday night when the service was over, you know, they told him, everybody, bring in your Gary Carpenter tapes, we're going to burn them. And so they went out back to the church, had a big, like a big barrel, and then just threw all these tapes in there to burn them because that stuff's heresy. I mean, well, some people are going to hear this, and they won't get into the Word. Well, he continued and said, I see Christians so lazy, they really don't care enough about their spiritual life to study my Word to be approved by me. They are content to live with a spirit that is bloated on the gases of doctrine, that is as dead as an animal by the side of the road. Well, that's exactly what it is. I'll say it again. I see Christians so lazy, they really don't care enough about their spiritual life to study my word to be approved by me. They are content to live with a spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit, that's your born-again spirit. They are content to live with a spirit that is bloated on the gases of doctrine, that is as dead as an animal by the side of the road. Now this is, you have to understand, this is what God is seeing. Remember this morning I was sharing how that there are preachers that, you know, they will teach this. You still have a sin nature, and they're the nicest people in the world. And they have the kind of personality that just, you know, draws people to them and so forth. So we're not talking about people that are, you know, mean ogres. We're talking about very friendly, likable, boy, they're fun to be around people. That's one of the reasons why a lot of churches grow so fast, because the pastor has that kind of personality. That's just how they are. Obviously, I don't have that kind of personality. But yet, God, see, with God, there's not a gray area. You know, it's either, you know, black or white, yes or no. I mean, it's either up or down. I mean, there's not a, you know, it's with Him, this is how it is. And He doesn't compromise. We're the ones that compromise. And then we turn around and we actually want to embrace compromise, you know, to keep peace in the family of God. Well, you know what? God wants you walking in truth. And if that means that there are some people that you can't have peace with, well, it's not your fault. See, you got to understand that. It's not our responsibility to make sure we're at peace with everybody. And this is where so many Christians miss it. Our responsibility is to conform to the image of Christ, but you can't do that if you're holding on to, you know, religious dogma and dead doctrine and all. You can't conform to that image if you're trying to appease people. And this is where, you know, I've shared this before. You know, you go into these cities and they have these, you know, these gatherings of, you know, all the local pastors to get together, and we're going to raise the banner of Jesus Christ over this city. And it sounds so good. But you know what they don't talk about? They don't talk about anything other than Jesus is Lord. Well, brother, that's all we're supposed to talk about. Wait a minute. That's not all the Bible talks about. Do you understand it? That's not all the Bible talks about. In fact, what's interesting is, once you get past the book of Acts, and you start in Romans, and you go on, do you realize there's almost nothing said about being born again? Almost nothing is in there about you must be born again. We don't see any more Nicodemus events. You must be born again so you can get into the kingdom of God. You don't see that. What you see is, get the sin out of your life. Here's the doctrine that God has established for the church. Live it. That's what's in there. It's not simply about raising the banner of Jesus. Because if you raise the banner of Jesus, you have to, I mean, if you're going to do it right, you also have to raise the banner of God's Word. And so what happens is, and I've been around and I've seen these things, you know, the pastors get together and all, and one of the things they say is, we just want to get together and we don't want to talk. How can we reach our city for Jesus? We're not going to talk about our doctrinal differences. I beg to differ. If the Apostle Paul showed up at your meeting, hey, what did he do when he showed up at Ephesus? He flat out just looked at him right in the eye and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I mean, he didn't mince any words. Have you received? There was something about them that made him think they had not received the Holy Ghost. Something was going on there. And so he asked, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, from Paul's perspective, there was a difference. You believe, born again, and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Have your own personal day of Pentecost. Very simple. At least to Paul it was. These guys said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. Paul says, okay. So he teaches a little bit, prays for them, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, start speaking in tongues. It's right in there. Well, see, now, if you go to this, you know, citywide pastors, raise the banner of Jesus, and you stand up and just look at them, and all you do is just say, have you received the Holy Ghost that you believed? Some are going to say yes. Some are going to say, what do you mean? Some are going to say, well, I guess I have. You're going to get all kinds of crazy answers. Then, If you try to pull an Apostle Paul and teach them about the Holy Spirit, you know what's going to happen?
Now, brother, listen, we don't want to create division.
I beg to differ, but division already exists because you guys have no clue what God has said in His Word about this. So let's talk about healing now.
Do you believe in healing? Well, brother, if it's the will of the Father.
Do you believe in laying hands on the sick?
Well, now, brother, we don't want to get radical.
Do you believe in casting out devils?
Well, brother, now, we just don't believe that that's the way things work anymore.
There's so much division in the body of Christ that there can't be unity under the banner of Jesus Christ. And the moment that you step out to try to develop unity is the moment you're going to have to compromise. Look, I'm not opposed to having fellowship with other pastors. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if you're not going to adhere strictly to what God has said in His Word, it's never going to work. It's just not going to work. And so what you have then is what God just said here. You know, Christians that are content to live with a spirit that's bloated on the gases of doctrine that is as dead as an animal by the side of the road. The thing is, He still loves them. None of this is a question of, does God still love these people? None of it. He loves them. But He cannot accommodate all this other. Well, He continued on and He said, I see Christians who worship at the idol of a religion that cannot give life. They exalt the throne of their churches and organizations above the throne of My Son. They bow to the lordship of a religious structure governed by modern-day Pharisees instead of bowing to the lordship of Christ. And that's what happens. Basically, guys, the church is in a mess. Listen to me. You know how people talk about, some people, well, you know, before the Lord comes together, we're all going to be one big happy family. No, we're not. We're going into eternity. You know, regardless of what you believe about the rapture. You know, you can say, I believe in the rapture. Maybe you don't believe. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay? Doesn't matter. Rapture or no rapture. Either way, we're going into eternity with all this division. All right? And we're going to stand before God with all this division. Now, in between now and then, what we ought to want to do is get into the Word of God, humble ourselves, and remain teachable. And if, you know, if the Holy Spirit has to, you know, figuratively speaking, stomp on our toes doctrinally to help us make things right, then bless God, just grin and bear it. You know? Just go with what He's doing and let Him bring about the change. He said, I see great murmuring against those who preach and teach the truth of who you are and what your second birth accomplished. Listen to, some of these things he says to me, I'm thinking, boy, I wish I'd have come up with that. Listen to this one. Is it not astonishing to think of a Christian arguing for the right to retain a sin nature? Is that weird? And I never thought of it like that before until he said that. And it's like, for crying out loud, that is exactly what we were doing. We were fighting for the right to have a sin nature. Why would you want a sin nature? Why would anybody? Well, brother, we don't want one, but it's what we've got. But what's the Bible say? Well, now, brother, you know, some things you just have to use rationale, reason, and stupidity. And I'm not trying to be insulting, all right? I'm really not. Because that's where I was. But when you think of it the way he said it, that is exactly what's happening. People are fussing, arguing, and fighting for the right to hold on to a sin nature. I don't know about you. Well, listen to what he said. Does it not make more sense to think that a Christian would instead rejoice to learn he has had the sin nature removed? If you've believed your whole life that you've got a sin nature, you're born again, you're washed in the blood, you're a new creation, whatever that means, but you still have a sin nature, if that's what you believe, and then somebody comes along and says, well, now let's take a look in Scripture, and starts digging through these things, and tells you, look, you don't have a sin nature anymore, wouldn't that make you happy? Wouldn't you want to learn more? Wouldn't you think, glory to God, you mean I don't have a sin nature? You mean I'm like Jesus? Oh, praise God! God, tell me more. But there are people throw you out of the church, of their church, if that's how you come across. He said, does it not seem highly confusing that a Christian would prefer to believe he still has a sin nature instead of digging in my word to understand all the things I have said about your position in me? Sure it does. You know, as he's saying it like this, it's so simple. And so I sit back and, you know, for myself, all right, well, I know more than what I used to, but how much do I really know? I mean, right now, at this moment, as I stand here before you, how much do I really know? I don't know enough to stop learning. I don't know enough to quit digging. I need to keep digging. The more I learn, the more like Him I become. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Boy, this next one's really good. Well, the others were good too. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He took me here to this. Now listen to what he said. I would ask you, exactly how do you plan to go to heaven if you die with a sin nature? Think about that. I'm born again, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, He's the risen Savior, glory to God, but I still have a sin nature. Well, how are you going to get to heaven if you die like that? How? When does the change come? When we get to heaven. It's kind of late then. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. What judgment? Is your name written or not? He went on and he also said, how do you plan to get your name written in the book of life if you die with the death of a sin nature? So if I'm here in life and I believe that I still have a sin nature, and, you know, if that were true and I died, how would I lose my sin nature? My sin nature is not in my body, my physical body, it's in my spirit. So, you know, I better get that sin nature out of me before I die. Because once I die, it's a little late. Then I'm going to be standing in judgment. And there's only one of two places, heaven or hell. Well, lake of fire. Heaven or the lake of fire. How do I get into heaven? Is your name written in the book of life? Well, how would I get it written in the book of life? Well, you should have accepted Jesus before you died. So that the sin nature could be removed and your name could be written down. Oh, so that's what that born-again stuff was all about. You know what? Okay, he just reminded me of a verse. Look here. With all this right here in mind, look back in 1 John. Chapter 4. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. How is it that I can have boldness on the day of judgment? That's because when I stand before Him, I'm going to be standing in front of my Father, and I share His nature. I don't have a sin nature, I've got His nature, so I know I'm going to make it in. Praise God. What do you mean have boldness? I can stand there with my head held high and say, hello, Daddy. And he'll say, come on in, boy. Dinner's waiting. You see this? Boldness in the day of judgment. Because my name is written. I don't have a sin nature. I'm as He is. Thank you, Jesus. Now look over in Romans chapter 7. And I don't know. You know, you may not be liking this. I'm liking this. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Newness of spirit. That's me. He said, the word born indicates a beginning. The term born again indicates a new beginning. Your faith in my Son produced salvation from the condition of your first birth. You have had a new beginning. By my Spirit, you were birthed a second time in the world. Your second birth came with the nature of spiritual life. Just like when I breathed into Adam the breath of my life, I have breathed into you the only kind of life I have to offer, my life and its nature. Praise God. What else can He give me? So I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and God breathes into me spiritually His life and its nature. His life has no sin nature. I have been born again. Hallelujah. Now He took me to one other verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit. What spirit? That new spirit? That we are the children of God. He said, if you will spend time with the Holy Spirit, He will fulfill a promise I made to you. He will bear witness with your spirit that you are my child, my offspring, possessing my life and nature. You are not the same. You are a new creation, a son or daughter of the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm born again and I feel good. And I'm not a possessor of a sin nature. I am a possessor of the life and nature of God Himself. I'll never be a deity. I'll let Him handle that part of it. I don't want to be deity. All you people praying to me, I just get frustrated and shut you down. He never sleeps and He never slumbers. I'll leave it all to Him, praise God. I want to sleep and I want to slumber. Maybe more than what I ought to. But even so, I am born again. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And someday soon, the glory that is within me is going to explode on this body, and I am going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and forever I will be like He is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, all of you born-again champions, stand up. There's so much more we could talk about as far as, you know, born again is concerned. So much more. I just thank God I don't have a sin nature anymore. I see what's going to happen. You let a message like this sink in, and see, you understand. Do you understand these lessons from the upper room? Do you realize that these are prophecies from God? These are prophetic words. You know, you let a message like this sink in, and I mean sink roots all the way down to your toenails. And the next time you hear somebody say, well, you know, we're just sinners saved by grace, and someday we'll be purged of the old sin nature, and on the inside, your spirit is going to be doing flip-flops. You're going to get that yucky feeling. You're going to want to change the channel or run out of the building or whatever. And you're definitely not going to want to support anybody who would preach that. Why would you want to send money to anybody who stands up and teaches in a way opposite of who you've become in Christ? Let me get this straight. He died on the cross, shed His blood, so that I could be born again. But then, according to you, God's leaving me the same. I don't like that deal. And if that were true, if I were Jesus, I'd be pretty upset about that. You mean I shed my blood? I took stripes on my back. I hung on that cross. I died. I went to hell, and on the third day I arose, so they could stay the same? So they could still live in Genesis 3? I thought that we were supposed to get them back to your perfect will, Father, Genesis 1. Well, praise God. I'm there. Hallelujah. And so are you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have God's life and nature on the inside.